Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. My name is Dale McCluskey. I'd like to welcome you to my show. On today's show, we're going to be doing part five of the series on finding your identity. And I'm talking about specifically the issue of pets and more specifically dogs. And what it is that through the relationship, how it is that it offers a glimpse into, at a higher level here, into how we think, but also, you know, pointing towards absolute truth. And the saying goes, all truth points towards God. I truly believe that. I believe there's things here, especially when you start peeling back the layers and through this relationship with dogs, because they share a very special connection with us. So as you peel back the layers of this relationship, you're going to see some profound things happening that I believe is no accident or coincidence. It's very profound. Now, I believe dogs are in our life for a higher purpose, a reason. They're in our lives to show us more, something deeper. Now, people can define what that deeper means to them, but here's the thing about identity, okay? I'll talk about identity. Why it is that something deeper to a lot of people could mean empowering yourself. There's a lot of self-motivation books out there. Don't get me wrong, there's lots of good things in those books. There's people that can really help to, you know, empower your own thinking. But here's the point. Ultimately, it is about identity. If you're trying to, you know, break free of bondage or from what this world has through our fallen nature, it's a exercise ultimately in futility. But ultimately, it's going to end up to bring you into a place where there is no hope. Because ultimately, you're looking at where our hope is in the future, in looking at, you know, eternity, our hope is found through, relationally, through Jesus Christ. I mean, that's it. I mean, that's where it is. And people can, I don't get you wrong, people can, you know, listen to my shows and really get offended, say, well, I don't believe that. There's, you know, we're talking about religion and there's other paths or whatever. No, that is the truth. And the thing about religion, I'll talk about this on today's show for a few minutes. People who, you talk about having a setting the wheel in motion so you have a encounter as to who God is. Here's the point, that there has to be a trade-off. Just like I talk about dog training and trade-offs and you go deeper and deeper into the relationship, how it is that people don't get what I'm saying a lot of times because they're not making trade-offs, okay? Their thinking is crystallized. You talk about this issue of idolatry, the mirroring their emotions, and just like permissive parenting, it's the same thing. The real issue never gets fixed, so ultimately frustration. And then you take this into a level which really it is, at a spiritual level, it's idolatry. And so if you're trying to, that's why if you're trying to, you know, figure this out as to why all the anger, why the hostility, why the divisiveness, because it's relational, okay? It's about identity. Ultimately, this is about who you are, you know, how you're defined even through this ideology, why it's so destructive. And, you know, you ask the question how it is that a group like PETA could, you know, kill every dog that they claim to want to help. Because it becomes twisted up, very destructive. Ultimately, that's where it is, ends up. It's spiritual. And so, because God's challenging identity. I'm gonna go into here and I'll read some just some scripture, and just to relate to idolatry. And we're gonna go into Romans because I was this show here. I want to cover off in this issue of idolatry, but ultimately too, I want to make a point here. Before I start into this kind of bumpy road for people, ultimately, this is the thing to take away from all this, okay? I want to, you know, this is like not a good thing. People don't want to hear this stuff. But ultimately, just consider what I'm saying in terms of hope. You know, talk about hope. you know, because whether it's, I talk about dogs and about, you know, being, having the ability to fix dogs at a certain level, even aggressive dogs. There's parallels here. It doesn't mean you have to be a Christian. It doesn't mean that you have to believe in God, certainly. However, I find it interesting, there's a surrendering process through your thinking. You have to get real with your motives. There's a level of honesty with getting to a certain level in this, in shifting the focus onto the person. Because what it does is it really flies in the face of this issue of idolatry or people's selfish motives. And so ultimately, nature doesn't reveal itself to people who are engaged in idolatry. It just doesn't. It doesn't. You're going to be caught up in appearances. And worse than that, you know, you're going to be deceived. This issue of, you know, treating training like a learning-based exercise, I get into these twists and turns. And it's very interesting, as though that if you want to think a certain way, nature will allow you to think, okay? Because there's dynamics here that are based on what you see. It's based on what you want, basically. So the scripture I'm going to read, it's the same thing. It shows a turning over process through sin, through idolatry. So God's basically saying, if you don't love the truth, if you're just refusing to listen, I'll turn you over to it. You'll be turned over to a delusion. And ultimately, you know, the God's intent through our free will, and that's the thing that's at work here, if you guys understand, it's free will, it's a choice. That, you know, people, if they refuse to acknowledge God for who he is, then he turns you over to yourself. So you talk about this issue of narcissism. Narcissism is nothing more than idolatry. It's love of self, and so it's destructive. So there's a type of judgment kind of built into it. It's like a ready-made judgment in built into it, because it brings people into a place of darkness, of hopelessness, of frustration, of anger, and anyone that's been involved with a narcissist at a personal level. You know, I mean, and the interesting thing, a lot of people, appearances, right? A lot of people that are engaged in a narcissist may not know. In fact, they may think they're a great person. But the people who have a personal relationship with these people, they know the truth of this person. And oftentimes, depending on your situation, you can feel very alone in dealing with it, because you feel like they kind of have people fooled, which they do. But ultimately, again, it's the same thing, issue of identity. Narcissism is a type of identity crisis. They're promoting a false self, and they've repressed who they are because because of what's happened as they were raised. There's different arguments as to how that happens, but it's basically a form of idolatry. Narcissism is idolatry. And so... but here I'm going to read scripture, and this will go into the issue of, you know, nature. Because, again, on today's show, I want to cover off in this issue of idolatry. But, again, getting back to this issue of hope, people have to understand that ultimately it's about hope. I mean, you have to get through the rough stuff. You have to come to, you have to come face-to-face with truth, and then to be set free, to be able to come to a place of victory, you have to surrender. I mean, it's about surrendering. If you don't surrender your identity, then you're going to be turned over. So here in Romans is a real tough one, because it really leaves you no place to hide. I mean, Romans 1, starting in verse 18, I'm going to read it. I encourage you to read this. You want to understand idolatry. This is a great scripture to understand how God deals with this, how he relates to us, and this issue of sin, this issue of identity. It's all in here. It's all packaged in here. So I'm going to read through. I'm going to offer some perspective as I go through here and just make some commentary about this. Starting verse 18, it says, "But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth for the wickedness." Now, I'm going to stop there. Very interesting, even you get into this issue of, in general, I'm talking about dogs, but about motives. Okay, again, this issue about motive suppressing the truth. So what's happening here, I talk about, this is why I put this issue out about, because we're talking about people's hearts here. Okay, this is goes beyond just, but it's interesting how this parallels into this stuff, because it is about, it's relational. You're dealing with dogs, you're dealing with nature, you're dealing with God. Because his standard is evident, is going to be established through nature. So what we're doing is we're buffering up against this through the relationship even with dogs, even this issue with what how people connect with dogs, how they relate to animals like that, and the consequences or behavior issues are a result of suppressing the truth, basically, not coming in the right relationship, idolatry. So here, what people do, so it's not about evidence. I mean, I put it right out there about this issue about learning and that training is a relational changing process. It's an intervention. But I put, you know, put the information out, but here in the culture of where we're at in society, you'll see very few people are going to acknowledge what I say. Because it forces, again, forces a trade-off. You cannot think a certain way and expect to create any sort of meaningful change if you're not coming to the end of your thinking. If you're not willing to surrender how you think, it's impossible. So here I continue on, verse 19. They know the truth about God, but he has made... Know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. So here's the thing about nature. Nature exposes who God is because ultimately, even go into these debates that scientists have about the Big Bang Theory and they always come up against a roadblock. In fact, the more science, I believe this, science will reveal God. Okay, the more science opens up things, the more, you know, the more it can be the magnitude of that there's an intelligent, you know, design can be seen. I mean, in the book, even the video, if you go and look at Lee Strobel, I mentioned him on one of my videos, investigative journalist. He turned life over to God after going through this, investigation, wanting to know, was God real? He goes through, and, you know, you look at the what's at work, even through nature exposes more, say, just the basic DNA, and these little things that look like basically machines. You have to look at even, William Craig going, theologian, philosophical guy. He goes in and he debates a lot of these, like Richard Dawkins yet, but he debates a lot and he breaks it down. I mean, he talks about, this thing about, even about the fine-tuning of the universe, and even the moral argument about, there's so many things. That's the thing. So God here saying, listen, there's so many things. You have to look up in the sky and you just look at creation, and it's going to bring you to a place of challenging your thinking, and it will. Let me continue on here. So here God says, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. But here, what God's saying is, and he's saying very clearly, your motives are going to be challenged. Okay, I mean, people. This is the thing. People can lie to themselves. They can put whatever argument, red herring they want in front, but ultimately, all motives are going to be exposed at the end. Okay, when you stand before God, there's nothing you're going to be able to. There's no one going to be standing beside you, so there's no excuses. You're not going to be able to fall back, some fallback position, because God knows everything. Okay, he knows what you're thinking. He knows all your motives for doing it, and so there's nothing there. There's not going to be anything there. You're going to be, there's not going to be any excuses. Verse 21. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols, made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So it's interesting how, he puts in there about birds, animals, and reptiles. It relates that to idols, idolatry, because it's exactly what happens. Now, there's different things that represent that you can worship in your life, but, you know, it's all there. It's creation. So you're worshiping creation rather than the creator. In fact, you're not in right relationship, God's saying, because nothing, and this is the thing to understand, because God created it, if we're in right relationship, if we're putting God above creation, because God made everything, including us, if you put God above creation, then nothing is bad in itself, because we're in right relationship. Our identity is secure. It's defined through God. And so, therefore, everything lines up properly, and we'll be content. So we're not going to be trying to, you know, lift things up above God. Okay, everything's going to, we're going to be happy because we're going to be content with what we have. We're going to be in the right relationship. So the same with dogs and birds and animals, in this issue about authority, what represents that dominion over, it's all going to line up. But here, see, there's always, everything always starts as from the point of a twist. Just like Adam and Eve, the first bite of the apple. Everything starts, and even in the end times, you go back, I'll talk about this in a future show, about to talk about the Antichrist and all this stuff. It represents another bite of the apple, basically. And it's about identity again. It's about identity. And talk about the religious system again, the false religious system. Again, identity again. I mean, it's all, people have to, you have to let the walls drop. You have to understand how, who God is. And my saying again is always let Christ be Christ, no matter how I think or feel. Feelings are a big problem nowadays. People want to just, you know, rely on truth as to how they feel about things. That's not the standards here. I mean, there's no debate. You can debate all they want, but the cultural shift, society shifts, their moral shift. Anyone that whose, you know, identity is in Christ, your blindness come off. You see it and say, wow, this is like not heading to a good place here. People are so deceived, but it's not stopping. But here, I'm going to read some more of this scripture. It says here, verse 24, so God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worship and serve the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. So here, what you're seeing is a turning over. We talk about turning over process. Sin is meant to get your attention. That's basically what this says. So God will, you know, turn you over to it, but then beyond it is idolatry. Idolatry represents darkness. It represents a place that, you know, idolatry will take you to, which is very destructive. It's amounts to frustration, anger. Because the same thing, if you see this in the permissive parenting, you know, model, because permissive parenting represents idolatry, it really does, it's the same thing. Because there's a mirroring process, okay? People are not bringing their children under discipline, and then discipline itself becomes a problem because they are engaged in idolatry, so they have a very, you know, twisted way of thinking. That's what happens, you get turned over to this stuff. And in the end, see, the issue never gets fixed. The child becomes, it's like generational. The child becomes narcissistic, selfish, and so it's just very destructive. The real issue doesn't get fixed. It affects marriages. It just twists. And that person will sit there and, you know, argue about everything because they're not recognizing what the truth is. They're not in the right relationship. And not right relationship with God, with the people around them. And you get this with animals, same thing. And so here, I'm going to read on further. It says, even the women turned against the natural way to have sex, and instead indulge in sex with each other. The men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burn with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with men. As a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, boastful. They invent new ways of sinning. They disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break the promises. They're heartless, have no mercy. I know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they acknowledge, they encourage others to do it. So here you get into this issue of idolatry. It covers off, you know, what idolatry is the turning over to it. Narcissism goes along with this stuff. And here, encouraging others to do it, you'll see that even in the dog training world. I mean, these people who I define them as basically reprobates, so-called dog behavioralists, who, that's what they're doing. It's idolatry. I mean, and deep down, God's saying here is that because we're in his image, and so we know, if we're really to get honest, we know these things are wrong, yet we are turned over to them because that's the point. God's trying to get our attention. Because it is about right relationship with him. So just very interesting about idolatry. If you're seeking answers to understand some of the stuff as to why, you know, there's so much, you know, anger and hostility. And again, there's a verse here. And again, you look at the cultural shift, okay? A verse in the Bible I don't have in front of me, but it says, it's in Psalms. It says, although, you know, many people will say if you're engaged in sin or idolatry, whatever it is, even though people will ally together, I mean, make no mistake, just because society is trying to redefine things right now and call things right and force others to come into agreement with them, that does not preclude the fact that God is going to bring judgment. It never has. You know, God, just because God appears, because God will let things go, because it's on his time clock, on his timetable. So, and it's called grace. That's the thing to understand about this. You know, we try to define God and say, well, we feel that for us to acknowledge him, that he's got to do our dance. I mean, he's got to intercede certain ways. Certain things happen in this world we don't agree with. Why doesn't God do this? Why doesn't God do that? People say all these things, but they will not consider that there's a reason. And even, you know, you look at, you know, the reason why God doesn't break through the clouds at a certain moment of time or come into your life in a certain way, it's because ultimately he knows, you know, the right, based on free will and based on those who come to acknowledge him, he has the kind of parameters set up to make it so that people free will can operate the way that it needs to. At the same time, all these bad things that happen in this fallen world, you know, God's showing us to say, hey, no, it's all about, you know, this, I'm not done yet, basically saying this is, it all comes to a point of restoration. But, you know, how this all weaves together, some of it we're not going to understand, but God's given us enough to, you know, bring us into an encounter with him. And even people who question his motives, you know, you have to step back and say, well, perhaps, you know, through everything that he's using that to bring me into a place where I can have a meaningful encounter as to who he really is. But this issue of idolatry, it affects everything. I mean, if we're not in right relationship with God, if we're out of right relationship, and understand something else is going to fill that void. And, you know, it can't hold the weight of God. It can't replace God. So this is why things always turn out not so well for people. Even this thing about trying to empower ourselves to fix our own problems, you know, we're trying to, you know, the hope of whatever situation it is, we're trying to generate that through ourselves, you know, and ultimately it's not going to work, maybe for a little while, but at the very end of all things, I mean, you still have to consider if God is who he is, says he is, and Jesus is the only way, and we have to acknowledge him, we have to turn from sin. We have to repent. We have to turn from sin. We have to seek restoration. Then that's it. There's no. I mean, we could be good. We can consider ourselves good people. And I did that for a long time. You know, as a police officer, I considered myself a good moral person. But looking back on it, didn't matter. I mean, if you can do lots of good things, it doesn't mean that you're in right relationship. Doesn't mean that you're not a sinner. We're putting our own definition. We're trying to redefine it. Say we don't need God. We're not as bad shape as we are, and we are. Our heart's wicked. I mean, God says that very clearly. You know, man doesn't even understand the wickedness of his heart. And this is why this whole thing was getting turned over to things, and that's not even. Clearly see it, because there's a point. There's always a point where, and this thing to understand, I see this so much clearly now as we go along, there's always a point where once you cross that line, I mean, there's always a point where God will, or you'll have an opportunity to stop. You know, it'll be a decision point where the truth is there. It's right in front of you, it's there, and you made that choice to move beyond it. That's why I talk about people's real motives. And those all, you know, no matter what the situation is in your life, those always are going to get exposed. It doesn't matter. You can live your whole life and feel like you got away with it, but you really haven't. That's the thing to understand. There's always going to be a reckoning for me and for everybody. I mean, again, my difference between me and someone else is who my hope is in. You know, I always picture it like, when I think of this, I picture it like a courtroom, and God's the judge. And he's sitting there behind, you know, in the courtroom at the, you know, the gavel in his hand. And I'm standing there by myself and, you know, and looking at eternity. You know, and there's two doors. One represents separation and one represents life. And just before I'm about to be sentenced, I know what door I'm going to be going through, the separation door. Jesus steps into the courtroom and stands beside me and, you know, pays my penalty, because I can't pay it. That's the whole point. And he's the one. And so then I go through that door of life with him. And that's it. That's how I, so standing there, you know, you're done. You're finished. There's nothing. The gavel's about to hit. There's nothing I can do under my own power. And my identity is coming through the door. You know, the person who's doing the saving is about to walk through the door, because I'm in the right relationship. I know who he is. I didn't deny him. I didn't try to turn him into something he's not. I didn't try to change the rules. I acknowledged him for who he is. This is why there's a verse in, I believe it's in Revelation, but Jesus makes it clear. He said, many will come, you know, at the end of time, many during judgment, many will come and stand in front of me and say, Lord, Lord, didn't I perform miracles? Didn't I, you know, heal in your name? Didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? Basically, they're pleading with him, saying, Lord, I did all these things. And Jesus will say, depart from me, you lawless one, workers of lawlessness, I never knew you. So Jesus saying, yeah, sure you did those things, but your identity wasn't to even know who I am. You did those on your own, basically. Or I worked through you, through that person, but you never were in a relationship with me. You never acknowledged, you never repented, you never acknowledged me, and that's it. So he's saying about relationships, it's all about relationships. So anyway, I'm getting a countdown, so thanks for tuning in to this show. This will be the end of the issue of idolatry. On my next show, I'm going to talk about the Christmas message and just turn towards hope, you know, talk about what it's about. And just to finish off, so next show will be, part six will be my final show on this, and then we'll move forward to some other things. So anyway, thanks for tuning in. I hope you have a great day.